Miss McCandless asked if her boyfriend could come and stay for a little while.
The day we moved into the apartment.
She surprised her new roommate.
You're just a off-the-cuff girl.
Then put him in a pinch.
She moved out and didn't pay anything.
He wanted out of that lease. He didn't care.
You're a hustler.
Will her witness say anything to make her case?
She paid him in other ways than monetary.
Would you get her out of here, please? She's irritating me.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Joshua Juhas is suing his former best friend, Patricia McCandless, for unpaid rent and bills on an apartment that was in his name. Patricia claims she never agreed to pay rent.
Order. All rise.
Yeah, it's case number 432 on the calendar in the matter of Juhas versus McCandless.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Ladies, have a seat.
Mr. Juhas, you and the defendant were friends, and you signed a lease together to live in an apartment together, you and the defendant and her daughter. According to your complaints, shortly after you moved into the apartment, Miss McCandless asked if her boyfriend could come and stay for a little while.
The day we moved into the apartment.
The day.
And she didn't ask me. She just told me that he...
And you... According to you, you said, well, he can certainly stay, but if he stays more than a week, he's got to start to pay rent.
Yes.
Which is absolutely fair, right?
Yes.
You were splitting the rent how?
Half.
Well, you were two people without your boyfriend.
Correct.
So already, you were doing a nice thing.
Yes.
And according to you, the boyfriend stayed for more than a couple of days. I think you've said something like 3 weeks.
Month and a half.
You got disgusted and said, I'm leaving.
I actually wasn't really intending on staying in the apartment. I really just wanted to get the apartment so that she had a safe place to live. Samantha had a safe neighborhood and a good school to go to. And I was in the neighborhood. I wanted her to be close to me so that I didn't have to travel so far to visit. And actually, the gentleman she brought to the house was just supposed to be helping us move in.
You don't need all this
information. I'm sorry.
She brought somebody into the apartment. He was there for more than a week or so. Should have been paying rent. It was very nice of you to agree to split the rent 50-50 with her, even though she's there with her daughter. So you were perfectly within your rights to say, I'm leaving. But according to you, you went to the landlord, and the landlord said, look, you want to be off the lease? It's going to cost you 2 months' rent. And according to you, you worked out an agreement with Miss McCandless, whereby you would pay the entire rent for 2 months, and that would give her an opportunity to save up some money so that she could continue to pay the rent on the apartment.
No. There is no talk of continuing on with the lease. There is only going to break the lease. I agreed to pay for the 2 months of rent if she agreed to pay for the two-month penalty when she left.
And then she moved out and didn't pay anything, and you were forced to pay the penalty and $4,000 for breaking the lease. You want her to pay for those 2 months and half of what it costs to break the lease.
Yes.
And an electric bill, which is sort of nominal. Now, Ms. McCandless says that when you moved out, you took some of her property, and I don't know what other excuse she has.
There's not an excuse about not paying. The agreement was that was spoken in front of my daughter and was also told to my cousin by Mr. Juhas was that he wanted out of that lease. He didn't care. He would pay the entire 4 months. All he wanted me to do was pay the electric bills while me and my daughter were still staying there. And when he provided me with electric bills, that is what I gave him.
Why would he do that?
Because he wanted to break the lease. That is what he told them. The conversation that him and I had about the 4 months rent was done right in front of my daughter.
You're Samantha?
Yes.
What's the name of the man that your mother brought into the house the day that you moved in?
Jackson.
And how do you know Jackson, Samantha?
I know him through her. He came to help us move in our things when we moved into the house with him.
But then he stayed?
Yes.
And how many bedrooms are in the house?
There are three.
Where did Jackson sleep?
With her.
So Jackson was more than a moving man.
Or the couch.
Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, well, towards
the end... He wasn't a mover?
No.
Okay. And how long did he stay in the apartment, Samantha?
Roughly as long as they said, a month and a half.
How much money did Jackson pay towards the rent?
Towards the rent, as far as I know he gave Josh some money, but I was not in the room.
$100.
What's the total rent on the apartment?
The total rent on the apartment is $1,925.
Hardly seems fair, Miss McCandless. When, Miss McCandless, did you tell the plaintiff that Jackson was moving in?
I believe we moved in on a Friday, and I believe it was on Sunday. that I told him he could stay with us because Saturday night.
On what date did you sign the lease?
The 13th of July.
And what date did you move in?
The 13th.
Well, your daughter said that he was there to help you move in. So if you moved in on the 13th, then he stayed there on the 13th.
Yeah, he stayed to help
right.
us unload.
No, he stayed and he didn't leave.
That's correct.
Right. So when did you tell the plaintiff that he was moving in?
I told him that Sunday.
Well, that's unacceptable, madam. Unacceptable. Maybe if you had said Jackson's moving in with us, maybe he wouldn't have signed the lease with you. You knew Jackson was moving in. How dare you?
I did not know.
Oh, sure you did. You mean the day? Listen, you're a hustler.
No.
You're a hustler.
There was a phone conversation Saturday
Samantha.
Night that she was in the room for where he was talking
Miss
on the phone
McCandless,
with his roommates.
Why didn't you tell the plaintiff that Jackson was moving in before he signed the lease?
Because it was not planned.
When did you plan it?
Saturday night.
You're just a off-the-cuff
yes,
girl.
Yes, it was.
Put your hand down.
I have first-hand knowledge
down.
From Mr. Huaz about this.
Great. Do it. Your name?
Sharon Campbell.
When did Ms. McCandless tell the plaintiff that Jackson was moving in with them? Is my question.
I wasn't there during the conversation with Mr. Huaz called me and told me, and we had many discussions about Jackson moving in there, and his words
Listen,
were that it went...
You're not following me, madam.
I was not there for the conversation, the initial conversation.
That is correct.
But I was there for following conversations.
I don't care about the follow-up conversations. By that time, he's there. It's a fait accompli.
With his agreement.
I don't...
He paid him in other ways than monetary.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Maybe he didn't like it. Sit down. Sit down!
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Can I move on to a
Would
different...
Would you get her out of here, please?
Question.
She's irritating me.
Step out, ma'am.
And later today...
He was at a convenience store, and he was in the car when a driver passed by and shot up the vehicle.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Joshua Uhas claims former best friend Patricia McCandless owes for unpaid rent and electric bills. Patricia is countersuing for stolen items and harassment.
Now, you signed the lease. You signed the lease. You did a stupid thing.
Yes, ma'am.
Shouldn't have done it. She's responsible for half the lease. She was responsible for half the penalties. I want to see proof of what you paid.
Can I move on to a
Would you get her out of here, please?
Question.
She's irritating me.
Step out, ma'am.
Both of you.
These are my bank statements from the day...
I don't want to see the whole bank statement, sir. I'm not starting from the year of the flood. Just show me a check that you sent to the landlord for $4,140.
I got that.
Samantha, where are you living now?
With my mom and her cousin.
Her cousin?
Sharon.
That one?
Yeah.
Great. Great. Very good. Ms. McCandless, you are to answer the following question and the following question only. How much rent did you pay from the time you moved into the apartment until the time you moved out?
Honestly, I do not know an exact dollar amount. I gave him cash every single time I got paid. I gave him all but about $100 of my paycheck.
That's
which is.
I asked you a simple question. How much rent did you pay from the time you moved into the apartment until the time you left?
I don't know the exact dollar amount.
Then we'll assume it's nothing. You owe the plaintiff $3,995, madam. That's what he gets on his claim. Now, according to you, he took certain items from you without permission. List them.
There was a television set that he took out of my bedroom. There were books that he also took out of my bedroom. He had given my daughter bedroom furniture that he also took with him after telling her that she could keep it. And then he took some of her Pokemon cards.
Did you pay for the furniture in her bedroom?
Yes.
It's yours. Did you pay for the television?
Yes.
Somebody show me a bill.
I bought it for $40 off of my boss 2 years ago.
Oh, well,
his boss gave it to him.
Then forget about it. It's worth nothing. What else? You have her Pokemon cards?
There's 11 of them. I threw them away. They're on top of the refrigerator after she moved out.
After she moved out?
After she moved out, they're on top of the refrigerator.
Counterclaim is dismissed. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of
$39.95. That's not the only thing that was on there.
This is our excuse. You may step out.
I hope you're happy that you care about her so much. And she has to go through therapy.
Wait here.
He has put her through so much after trying to be like a father to her.
I have to go through therapy because of him.
I'm sure she's definitely hurt. Out of all this, we all are.
It's a shame that relationships have been severed.
I lost my whole family.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of Marshall versus Cherry. Step forward, please.
Sharon Marshall is suing her niece, Felicia Cherry, Felicia's husband, Carlos, and their son, Carlos Jr., for damage to her car. Sharon says the car was part of a drive-by shooting while in Carlos Jr.'s possession.
Miss Marshall, this is your daughter?
Yes, ma'am.
According to your complaint, your daughter allowed, I assume, this young man.
Yes, ma'am.
What's your first name?
Carlos.
Carlos, to drive your car.
Yes, ma'am.
And while Carlos was driving in the car, someone or several people shot at the car.
Yes,
with
ma'am.
Carlos in it.
Yes, ma'am.
And you believe Carlos and his parents should be responsible for fixing the car.
Yes, ma'am.
And Carlos and his parents say, we don't know who did it. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you know who shot the car?
No, ma'am.
And they can't be responsible for the criminal acts of somebody else, even though it was your car.
Yes, ma'am.
They're right. Why would you think that the Cherries are responsible for someone else's criminal act, Miss Marshall?
Well, ma'am, my niece called me. She said that she had asked my daughter if her son could drive my vehicle.
Yes.
And she also agreed that she was sorry and that she would also pay for the damages that was done to my car.
You mean this is after the fact?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you agree to pay for the damage?
I did.
Look down.
I'm sorry.
You have to understand. You had no legal obligation to pay for the damage. Do you understand that?
Yes, ma'am.
Because if someone committed a criminal act, they're not responsible for the third party's criminal actions, unless, of course, the actions were precipitated by Carlos. And we have no proof that they were. So it was clearly a situation where somebody was being violent. Fortunately, no one was hurt.
Is that right? Yes.
So you had no legal obligation to pay for it.
That is
but
correct.
You can create that legal obligation if you agreed to pay for the damage.
Well, when I spoke with my aunt the day that it happened.
This is your aunt?
Yes, this is my aunt. She's been like a mother to me, a mother I've never had. I felt bad about the situation. You know, I felt bad because, number one, it was her vehicle and my son was driving the vehicle. So when I called her and let her know what had happened, I said, I will be willing to help you, you know, maybe pay for the deductible or, you know, I felt like with my cousin giving him the keys to drive the car that maybe we could go in. You know, together.
I want to know what you said to her, Miss Cherry. Stop bumping around. I want to know what you said to her.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
He was not supposed to be anywhere where any gang activity is supposed to be.
There was no gang activity going on there.
My car was actually used in the drive-by shooting, ma'am.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Sharon Marshall says her car was riddled with bullets while in the possession of her grandnephew, Carlos Cherry Jr. She is suing Carlos and his parents for the cost to have it repaired.
Go ahead.
Okay. When I called her, I let her know the situation and what had happened. I said, "Aunt Sharon, I will try my best to pay for the deductible for the vehicle." The next day after Twanell had drove in the car back home and they saw the damages, my aunt took the car to an estimate. Come to find out she didn't have car insurance, okay?
What year car was it?
It's a 2006 SUV.
Why don't you have insurance?
At that time, I couldn't afford it, Your Honor.
Did you pay for this car in full?
No, ma'am.
Are you making payments on the car?
Yes, ma'am.
You're required by law to have insurance.
Yes, ma'am. What had happened, and I'm not making any excuses, what had happened is my deductible on my medical bills had went up, and I couldn't get my medicine and pay the car insurance.
And that's why I discussed it with my husband, and he said, you know, well, she doesn't have car insurance. How are we going to be able to pay this deductible? So maybe a week later, she called me back and she says, hey, it's $5,000 worth of damage to my car.
The car, I assume, is still drivable.
Yes, it was drivable. My cousin actually took it back that day.
What was the deductible when you had insurance?
It was a $500 deductible, ma'am.
Well, that's what Miss Cherry said that she agreed to pay. Other than that, if she agreed to pay the $500, that's what I will award you.
No, ma'am. She said that she would pay for the full damage of the vehicle.
I don't believe that, madam, because she thought that the car had insurance, mm-hmm. and as anyone would,
yes.
for a brand new car, not yes. having insurance is outrageous.
Yes, ma'am.
Especially when it's against the law not to have insurance when you have a car that you are making payments on that really doesn't belong to you until it's paid off.
Exactly.
I don't know what you want to do, but legally, they are not responsible for the damage to the car.
Also, ma'am, when I went to the make the small claims court decision, they had told me that he was at a convenience store down the street from their house, and a driver passed by and shot up the vehicle. That was one of the reasons why she said that she felt bad, because he was in the car when somebody shot it up. And I decided to go head on and make a report to the police department, because one of the things that I'd asked is, had you called the police? And they said no, that they didn't call the police, because their son said that he would not speak to the police. And that's what Mrs. Cherry told me.
Why didn't you call the police?
Because
I was... No, look at me.
I was in a state of shock. I didn't
want
all of that.
Well, the shock is over now. Why didn't you call the police? Somebody shot at you.
Because I didn't know who it was. I couldn't give anybody a statement or nothing. All I seen was a car.
Well,
turn
that's
around.
A start.
I couldn't tell you what color
what
car.
What time of the day of night was it?
It was about 1:30.
1:30 when?
In the afternoon.
Then you saw the car. Now, I could understand why you may not want to discuss it with the police, sir. But if you think that I believe for 1 second that at 1:38 in the afternoon you didn't even see the color of the car that shot at your car, I don't believe you.
I mean...
I don't believe you, sir. I don't believe you. Even your parents don't believe you, if they're smart. But there may be reasons why you didn't want to speak to the police.
And when I also asked her why didn't she not call the police, she also made the statement that he was not supposed to be anywhere where any gang activity is supposed to be, because he was under house arrest. That was one of the main reasons why she said that he did not want to speak to the police.
Your Honor, may I speak?
Yes.
He was at my aunt's house. There was no gang activity going on there.
Well, he wasn't at the house. The car didn't get shut up at the house.
Yes, it got shot at the house. Her daughter, my cousin here, Twarnell, made up the story about it being at Quick Trip. That was her story she told her mother.
Is that right?
Yes.
Why did you make up a story?
At the time, I just wanted to give him a place to be going instead of for the better part joyriding.
So he was joyriding.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning is provided by... Are you in a family dispute? Go to judgejudy.com. or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
Now, how far from the house where you were staying, where he borrowed the car, did the car get shot?
Approximately 2 to 3 miles from our house.
It was like 10 minutes after he left home.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Ms. Marshall, the best I could do for you is Cherries... Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, and when I went to the police department to make a report about my car being shot up at the Quick Trip, they gave me a report and said that my car was actually used in the drive-by shooting, ma'am.
Can I see that?
That's crazy. Not true.
Which is not true.
That's not true, Your Honor.
I have no idea what this means. You weren't arrested for anything, were you?
No,
ma'am.
Miss Marshall, unless this young man...
Yes, ma'am.
...shot your car...
Yes, ma'am.
...his parents are not responsible for the vandalism, reckless acts of third persons.
Yes, ma'am.
They're not responsible for that. He had permission to drive your car.
Yes, ma'am.
He had permission because your daughter, who had permission, gave him permission to drive your car.
Yes, ma'am.
That's the law.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, I really wish I could help you, but I can't help you because that's not the law.
Yes, ma'am.
And it's very unfortunate.
Yes, ma'am.
But if your daughter was driving 2 to 3 miles away from the house and the car was shot...
She could have had an accident or anything.
You know, that's the violent behavior of third persons. But Miss Cherry agreed to pay for the deductible on your insurance. If you had had insurance on your car, you could have had it fixed.
If she'd have had insurance, but she didn't have insurance.
Yes, ma'am.
I understand that.
So it is fixed, ma'am.
It is fixed?
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Judgment for the plaintiff and the amount of what you agreed to pay, which was the deductible, $500. That's all. Thank you.
Please excuse me, step out.
Yes. Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy. Some get clever.
It's the story. I'm sticking to it.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Others get hostile.
I want to tell you what happened.
Judge Judy gets the last word.
They don't keep me here because I'm gorgeous. They keep me here because I'm smart.
I agreed to come so that the judge could work it out. She worked it out.
I'm happy with the decision.
I'm glad it's over with. I'm sorry it happened.
I don't think that we'll ever get down to the truth of the matter.
No gang activity, none of that. Anything can happen, and I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Kids say what they want to say, and parents believe what they want to believe.
I was just sitting there, and bullets just start flying.
You're thinking the worst. You're thinking, you know, he could be dying. You know, you're just in a panic.
I was frightened because we had so many other deaths in the family.
I just want my aunt to know that I still love her.
My Aunt Sharon, I still love her, and I'm hoping we can resolve this issue.
I'm always love my Aunt Sharon.
We're still a family. We're gonna always be a family.
It's okay.
I'm just hoping that we can, you know, amend everything and just go on.